I'm going to be brief today. I have no slides for today. Glory. Amen. Because I like to do slides when I'm going to do. Did someone call me? Did you call me? Okay. When I'm doing an in-depth teaching and I need to be able to show some things. However, today's Mother's Day. And amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. Amen. And I'm not going to keep you long because I know there's a meal waiting for you. Amen. And we want to get to that. But we want to give God thanks and always learn something as we come to the Word of God. And I'd just like to point out a few things. When God gave Eve, and Eve was named by Adam. Adam gave her two names. He called her woman. This she shall be called woman, but then he also named her Eve. She is the mother of all living. Eve means life giver. That's what that name means, life giver. Amen. And there's a little Eve in every, God put a little Eve in all the women. Amen. When God gave Eve her first son, Cain, he also gave Cain as a gift to his mother. Amen. So God gave Eve a son. That gave, you could say this, God gifted Eve with a son. But then as he gave her a son, God then turned around and gifted Cain with a mother. Amen. So not only was she excited over what God had given her, but as the children grow older, there come a time in your life when you look on your mama. You may have been upset with her at one time. You may have thought she didn't know this, that, the other thing. You may have thought, well, she could have done this different. But there come a day in your life when you look back on your mama and say, Jesus, gee, how many of you guys had the best mama in the world? How many of you had the, yes, indeed. You'll be able to say, my God, I had, thank you, Jesus, for that woman you gave me called mama. You may call her mother, you may call her whatever, mama. Oh my goodness, we give thanks. You ever notice God gives the best gifts? Huh? He gives the best gifts. You know where I'm going. And what are the gifts he gives? People. He gives people. I'm going to harp that till the day I go to be with Jesus, because that's the truth. He gives the best gifts. See? And he gives us relationships. And this is why we're not to take the relationships in our lives for granted. This is why when, you know, I just read through the book of Acts. And at one point, Paul and Barnabas had a little schism. And they parted ways. But the gospel went on, and Paul was still benefiting from Barnabas' relationship in his life years after, through Mark, whom Barnabas raised up and taught him the ministry that Paul had once rejected. But it was still there. God gave Saul to Barnabas and Barnabas to Saul. God gives the best relationships. To Adam, he gave Eve. And to Eve and Adam, he gave Cain and Abel. And, you know, at Mother's Day and Father's Day are times where we look back and reflect upon what God has given us. And we thank God for. Now, I know there are other cases where, you know, people have mothers and fathers who just sin had taken its toll. And they were not able to be that parent that they could look back on lovingly. Right. But that's the exception. Right. Not the rule. So God gave Cain and Abel to Adam and Eve. This is the case with every child, for it is his mother who would nurse, cherish, and care for him. Cain's wickedness, though, did not allow him to truly prize his mother as a gift, for he wouldn't have taken her son, his brother Abel, away from her if he did cherish her as a gift from God. Genesis 4:1 says, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. There was a time when even though fallen, people still knew that their children came from God. We're in a different day now. We're in a different day. Well, as I said earlier, now know about that child. It's not his way. It's my way. It's my way. Yeah. God help us. But God is merciful. Amen. He's merciful. So what we see in the scriptures is that sin wrecked motherhood. Wrecked it. Wrecked it. Hold on, fathers. June coming. Look here. June coming. Sin wrecked everything God made and put under man's authority. Including motherhood. Wrecked it. Wrecked fatherhood. Wrecked it all. This is witnessed by Rebecca. You remember Isaac married Rebecca? She had twins in her womb. But the scripture says Isaac loved Esau, but Rebecca loved Jacob. What is that all about? Come on, mama, didn't you bear both of them? They were twins in your womb. But she preferred Jacob. That effectively divided her household. So much so that she deceived her own husband and split her household in two and sent Jacob running to Padan Aram to get a wife and to get away from his brother Esau, who was comforting himself with this thought: after my father dies, I'm going to kill my brother. Yeah. Oh, that takes us all the way back to Cain and Abel. Hey, ain't nothing changed. Come on. And you don't, oh my goodness, and today we don't want to start. So this thing divided her household. Why? Because sin wrecked motherhood. And the thing about God, you know, God, he puts it on display. He's not going to say, you know, I'm going to hide this person and maintain this person's integrity and respect. Hello? God, like, no, let's put it on Front Street. So that everyone will know, Athaliah, you remember that name? What was she? She was a queen who usurped authority after her son, King Ahaziah, died. What did she do? What was she known for doing? Well, she took all of her grandchildren who were heir to the throne, all the little boys, she killed them. I said sin wrecked motherhood. Sin wrecked it. And Athaliah slayed her own grandchildren. Why? Because she wanted to rule rather than serve. Instead of raise those young men up to be kings, she slayed them because she wanted to rule. Come over into the New Testament, and Herodias, you remember, was married to Philip, Herod's brother, but then Herod took her for his wife. And Herodias didn't like the fact that John the Baptist told Herod, it is not lawful for you to have her. And so one day when Salome, Herodias' daughter, was dancing before Herod and pleased him, he said, I'll give you whatever you want to have for my kingdom. And she ran to her mother and said, what shall I ask? And her mother, Herodias, said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. I said, sin wrecked motherhood. Because here's a mother who sold into the life of her daughter a sin, a murderous sin, that would stay with her for the rest of her life. But as badly as sin has affected mothers over millennia, it's not every day that you find a person who doesn't love their mother and lament their passing. Just had a friend from high school, just posted, on Thursday or Friday, he said, Mama's gone. And I remember him coming over to our house. We played basketball together. We spent, you know how you're in high school running with all your boys and everything. We spent time together. He said, Mama's gone. And I'm like, there's nobody like Mama. There's nobody like Mama. And so why is that the case? Well, even in the midst of all of how sin has affected motherhood, she's still a gift from God. She's still a gift from God with all her flaws, with all her flaws, with all the misgivings. And I remember things done. I remember things said, but I remember love from my mother that canceled out everything. Everything. And I believe it's the love of God, the love of God. So mothers still are a gift from God, and they bear his image. Not only that, God would use the mother to reveal his love for his people in scripture. That fallen mother. Yeah, that one who didn't do things right, didn't do things perfectly, and who does? In Isaiah 49 and 15, God said this, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you." Hallelujah. Come on now. You ever feel forgotten? It's a lie. Hey, if you in Christ and you feeling forgotten, it's a lie from the pit. Because God will never forget. He says, "I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands." Huh? What hands? The hands that Jesus laid out. Come on. And they put the spikes through his hands. Thomas said, "I will not believe unless I see the marks in his hand, put my fist in his side." Jesus showed up and said, "Here I am, Thomas. Believe. Believe. Yes, indeed. I did this for you." Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children." I love seeing mothers interact with their children, especially when they're young, how they look at them. That made mothers look at a child the way a father never could. I mean, it's like she's looking into the child. Hey, you know what I'm saying? It's such a beautiful thing. Such a beautiful thing. Now, in God's word to his chosen people, that would have been Israel in the Old Testament, God gave instructions about how to treat mothers. And he gave them along with how to treat fathers. We know it well, Exodus 20, verse 12, which Paul quotes in Ephesians 6 and verse 2. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Now, in some communities, they interpret that to mean if you treat her right, she'll let you live. Amen. With things like this, "I brought you into this world and I'll take you out." And I said, "God have mercy on us." See, that's that fallenness coming out in us. You're like, "Who are you? Come on, don't be saying that to your children." But in Israel, God said, "No, they're not going to do it. Now, I'm going to do it through them, though." Because what? They had laws and stipulations like Exodus 21:15, "And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be what? Put to death." If you hit your mother or your father, look, I told you this one years ago. I was shopping in the mall one day. A woman had the child pushing the cart, in the child in the cart, and the child asked for something, and mama wasn't giving it to her. The child pitched a fit and was hollering and screaming, and I'm like, "Yeah, I'm used to that." Until the child hauled off, went like this. Whack! I was like, "Oh, wait a second." It took, I had to literally get a hold of myself because I was going over there. "Are you serious?" I was about to snatch a knot in that boy's tail the way I heard people say, "I'll snatch a knot in your tail quick if you don't cut that business out." I was cleaning in D.C. This has been about 4 years ago. And the woman texted me, said, "Pat, my nanny's there. Go on in, do this, this, this." I said, "Okay, not a problem." I went in, and the nanny's, I don't know what nation she's from, but she's not the same ethnicity as the host. And so I'm cleaning, and the little boy, one of the boys, he was watching like three boys. And one of the boys said, is he going to clean that room? And she's like, "Yeah, whenever he gets to it." And he started pitching a fit like, "Well, I don't want him to clean that room." And I just looked at the kid and I was like, "Lord Jesus, help him." Because the mother told me, the authority told me to clean his room. So when I got round to it, I went on and cleaned the room. And the boy was happened to be standing there with the woman, and he hauled off and smacked the woman. This boy was probably like 8 or 9 years old. He hit, maybe even younger. He hit this woman. And it took everything. I was about to run over to this young boy and snatch him up. Say, "Boy, if you ever," and I'm like, "Lord, I know I can't do that. I can't, this is not my house. This is not my house. I can't do anything." But I began to pray. I said, "Father, let someone get after this. Someone has to deal with that." Because some people may laugh when they're this young. Listen, you ain't going to be laughing when they're like this. Yeah, you didn't know, no, it ain't funny, period. But people laugh. And it's nothing to laugh about. And the poor woman just stood there, no one to protect her. And here's a man. Huh? God ordained to protect women. Huh? Why you think you stronger, man? Huh? Oh, it's to show how much stronger I am than a woman. Wrong. Wrong. No. We're to protect them. But not only that, Exodus, a couple verses later, Exodus 21:17 says, and he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Why were these commands given? Well, those who provided, cared for, and nourished you, being representatives of and made in the image of God, were not to be abused and could not be abused with impunity. God expected the children of parents to reverence their mother. Amen. Remembering that, who was it? Rachel died in childbirth. In the book of Genesis, then Ichabod's wife, or excuse me, Phinehas's wife, the mother of Ichabod, in the book of Judges, she died in childbirth. Sorry, 1 Samuel, she died in childbirth. What women go through every day in order to have a child, which is also, well, I'm not going to go there, but God help us in these days we're living in. Amen. Yet, we see in the news, I've seen so many people who murder their own parents. Recently, a young man in Atlanta, it shocked me. He went, you know, we have all these mass shootings. Well, he went and shot his grandmother and his mother to death. And he shot someone else. And I looked at it, I said, God, this world, we are so broken, we are so sinful. When people say, why did Christ go to the cross? That's why Christ went to the cross. Because that's how sinful and broken humanity is. Paul told Timothy this in 1 Timothy 1:9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. What's going on today was going on then. What's going on in Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, so much so that God said, it has grieved me that I even created man, therefore I'm going to wipe the earth. Huh? 10 generations. Let you know how powerful sin is. 10 generations, God said, I'm done. Wipe it. Every mother wants the best for her children. Amen? All right. However, this can sometimes get in the way of what God has planned for her children. Amen? We all have good intentions. We all want good. We have good intentions as far as we can see. But our sight is limited, right? We see through a glass darkly. And what works or what may seem reasonable or understandable one day, the very next day or a few hours later seems total chaos. So today we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 20 as I close. Well, I'm laughing, y'all, as I close. Amen. My first close. Amen. Matthew 20. I've never looked at actually the mother of Zebedee, whom some Bible scholars say her name was actually Salome, is the name Salome mentioned in scriptures. However, the scriptures do not emphatically say that Salome was the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. But in Matthew chapter 20, in verse 20, we read, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. So here we have a mother coming with her two sons. Now, James and John, we don't know their ages, but we would assume that they're grown men or very close to it. and so she comes with her grown sons with them, and they're kneeling down, worshiping, imploring the Lord, wanting something from him. Now, Rebecca sought the Lord in the Old Testament, it was Rebecca who sought the Lord about her pregnancy when she was having great difficulty. And she even said, Lord, if everything's okay, why am I like this? And that's when he told her, there are two nations in your womb, right? Samson's mother sought the Lord in order to know how to raise the child after an angel came to her and said, you are now barren, but you are going to conceive, and the child's going to be a Nazarite from the womb. All right? And so she sought the Lord and said, Lord, please send this man back, her and her husband, to teach us what we shall do for the child. She sought the Lord for that purpose. Then we have Hannah in 1 Samuel who sought the Lord. Why? Because she was barren and she wanted a child. Remember, her rival, if you will, Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, had five children. Peninnah had five children, and she would throw it into Hannah's face every year when they would go up to the feast, right? And but Hannah was barren, and Hannah wanted a child, so she sought the Lord. Here, the mother of Zebedee, she has her sons, but she's coming asking for something from the Lord. Now, what we can surmise from the book of Mark is that what she's asking from the Lord was most likely instigated by her own sons, because in Mark chapter 10, verse 35, it says here, she asks Jesus for something. In Mark, it says James and John asked for something. So they asked through their mother. Okay? So, and why? Because every mother wants good for their child, right? Now, for the purpose of this message, people might not say, no, because right now you're about to say that's not all that good. But everyone knows that every mother would do anything to have that which is good for their sons, right? All right. And it's not hard to see, especially when Peter, James, and John were the three that were always mentioned closest to Jesus. It was always Peter, James, and John, and it was always in that order, Peter, James, and John. Well, it looks like perhaps James and John's mother wants us to be James and John. Hey, look here. Come on now. Look, is that hard to fathom, given what we just talked about, how sin wrecked motherhood? No, not at all. For one to misunderstand or not see the kingdom as Jesus was teaching us and as we now see it. So she wanted her sons to be closest to Jesus. We get that. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, you remember James and John, they were in the boat fishing with their father, mending their nets, and Jesus came by and said, follow me. And the scripture says they left their father in the boat and went and followed Jesus. So they already left their father, right? But it looks like their mother has now become a follower of Jesus, and the desires of her sons have affected her in some way. And Jesus said in verse 21, what do you wish? What do you wish? My, what a question. What do you wish? Now, so he asked her, what do you want? What a question. When God asks you, what do you want? I'm reminded of Solomon in the Old Testament. God appeared to him twice now, right? And God said to him, what do you want me to give you? And he says, well, Lord, you've made me a king of all these people. He says, I don't know how to go out and come in before them. I don't know how to judge them. Give me wisdom that I would know how. And God knows we need the wisdom of Solomon today with all the things we're facing in this nation. Lord knows we need the wisdom, don't we? We need wisdom. And so God said, well, because you haven't asked for riches or the life of your enemies, I'm going to give you those things that you didn't ask for. And I'm going to give you the wisdom. So but let me ask us a question. When we go to God, do we go with what he wants in mind, or do we go to him with what we want in mind? Yeah, because see, prayer is all about his will and not mine. That's what prayer is about. Prayer is about this. Father, what do you want in this circumstance, in this situation I find myself in? The scripture says that when Jesus went in, Jairus' daughter was dead. He put everyone else out, took with them the mother and the father, Peter, James, and John. Took them in there, and he prayed. Now, Peter does this in the book of Acts when Dorcas dies. But he says he went in and he prayed. Why was he praying? To get the mind of God. God, what do you want me to do? What do we say? Oh, I'm not asking anything. We're going to raise this person from the dead. Or are we? Who going to raise him from the dead? Who going to raise him? I'm sorry. If he's not involved, there's nothing we can do. Hello. So when we go to prayer, what do we go? I said this last week. When we go to prayer and we ask God for something, most of us have an idea in mind of God, how best you ought to accomplish this, which I'm asking you. We have it in our mind how we want to see it. And God says, yeah, but my ways are higher than your ways. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Right? He's going to do it his way. So he asked her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. Now, when she asked this, the question that I have to ask myself is this. Was she thinking about Jesus when she asked that? Or was she thinking about what she wanted? Well, obviously. She's like us. She's thinking about what she wants. Lord, I want this trial to pass from me. I'm tired of this. I can't take it anymore. Yeah, that's what we want. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Huh? But you know, God's not beholden to that. Now, you can express it. But God's not going to, he's not going to go, oh, I'm sorry, you didn't want this? Well, let me change everything. Oh, no, it doesn't work like that. So here the mother of Zebedee's, she wanted her sons to sit instead of to serve. She wanted them to sit, one at your right hand, one at your left hand, instead of serving in the kingdom of God. Mothers, what is your desire for your children? What is your desire for your children? What are you petitioning the Lord for your children? Because the mother of Zebedee came asking Jesus for one thing, and Jesus had something totally different in his mind for her sons. Now, we're talking, this is Mother's Day. This is Mother's, but how do you know we're preaching everybody here? We're preaching everybody because the principles apply, right? So what are we praying for? This mother wanted a position. She wanted a place of prominence for her sons. However, in the kingdom of God, position is about preparation. Position is about preparation. We'll get to it in a second. But even as I wrote that, I thought about Pastor Moses, who is now pastoring Nova Worship. God had prepared him for that for years. And he's now in that position. God put him there. God knew before he came here, God had ordained that he would occupy that position. God was the one who prepared him for that. So position is not about, showing how worthy I am. Because to sit on the right hand or the left hand of the king is a place of prestige. Come on. You remember in the book of Esther and in Haman, Haman was the right hand man of the king. And when Haman would walk through the town square, they would say, bow the knee. And you would bow your knee to Haman, except for Mordecai. Because Mordecai said, I'm a Jew. I don't bow to anybody. I bow to God in heaven. That's it. And that's why Haman wanted to kill Mordecai and all of his people. Right? Well, so this position that she's asking for is that which God has prepared for certain people. It's not just so that you can just get up and ask for it and whoever gets asked for it first is theirs. No. John, in John chapter 3, verse 27, John answered and said concerning Christ, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. That's why every position that we occupy, we're going to give an account before God one day. Why? Because he put us where we are. He's given us the talents and the abilities that we have. And we are to use those and occupy till he comes. And when he comes, there's going to be a reckoning. Come on, there's going to be an accounting. We have an accountant here. She could tell you all about it. I know nothing about it. Amen. Here, the mother of Zebedee has in mind a physical kingdom. She said, let him sit on the right hand and on the left in your glory. So a physical kingdom is in view. But remember what Jesus said when he was talking to Pilate? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Right? So she was asking for one thing. Jesus had something totally different in his mind. Totally different in his mind. Jesus would go on to teach about serving in this kingdom. Instead of seeking position for your children, seek from God a heart of kingdom service for your children. Let me say that again. Instead of seeking position for your children, and we can apply that to us, instead of my seeking a position, I am to seek a place of service, right? Amen. Because there are many who occupy a position who do not serve. This is going on in politics all around the nation. On every level of government, there are people who hold a position who are not serving their constituency. It's a whole lot of them. And it goes on in every sphere of authority that you have people occupying a position who are not serving the kingdom or serving the people. So this woman, she comes and listen at what Jesus says in verse 22. You do not know what you are asking. Oh, my goodness. Has that ever qualified any of my prayers or your prayers? You better believe it. You do not know what you are asking is the rebuke, subtle rebuke that Jesus gives to the mother of Zebedee's sons. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? James said it this way, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. There are a lot of people serving in government today. They're not there because they want to serve. They're there to power, authority, control, money, pleasures. That's why they're there. Huh? God help us. God help us. Jesus said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am able to drink, that I'm about to drink? And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. They said to him, so he posed the question to her. They said, we are able. They had no clue. They had no, it's like us when we young. Lord, I'm ready. Ready for what? Ready for what? Yeah, I'm going to show you what you ready for. I'm about to show you what you ready for. You'd be like, ready? No, Lord, no. That's right. That's right. Help me, Jesus. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So Jesus said, are you able to enter the level, the realm of service that I'm about to serve my Father with? Because my Father held out to me a cup. He said, drink it. He says, are you able to drink from that cup? Now, when he talks about that cup, you can go into the Old Testament. The prophets prophesied about drinking the cup and all of its dregs. Talks about the cup of wrath. The, you know, all of these things. And so when he said, There's a whole lot of imagery, but a whole lot of background into that cup. They would understand what he meant when he said, "Are you able to drink from this cup?" Now, we wouldn't, because we haven't, you know, we haven't done all the study of Old Testament and bring up all these scriptures, but it had particular meaning. Jesus served God by drinking the cup his father had prepared for him. The mother of James and John was at the cross and the tomb after his resurrection. She was a witness of the cup that he drank. Now, but what she did not know was that Jesus said this, "You will indeed drink the cup that I'm drinking, and you will be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But those who sit on my right and my left hand is not mine to give," he told her. Right. He said, "It is for whom my Father has prepared it for." Ah. Position is about preparation that the Father has prepared you for. It's not about us achieving position. See, in the world, and we're in the world system. And sometimes as Christians, we can get inundated and just be overwhelmed with the world system. And we start operating on the world system. Well, the world system says, if I do this, this, and this, I can attain that position. No, that's wrong. That's not how Jesus operates. Jesus told them that my Father has prepared people who are going to sit on my right hand and my left hand, and you can't get there simply by asking for or wanting to attain it. You can't get there. In other words, there's a position for you to hold. But guess what? In Acts chapter 12 and verse 1, we read this. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. This son, one of her sons that she was asking for to sit on the right hand and left hand, the cup that Jesus drank, the cup of death, the cup of martyrdom, oh, he drank it all right. But now if Jesus had told that to her at the time, she was like, "Oh, no, Lord, no. My sons, matter of fact, get out of this movement. We're not, no." What mother would wish? No mother would wish that on her son. But that's what God had prepared for her son. Jesus said, and I forget which church in Revelation chapter 3, he says, some of you Satan is about to throw into prison. He says this, "Be faithful unto death, and you shall receive a crown of life." Be faithful unto death. James was faithful unto death. And the moment he closed his eyes in death, he opened his eyes in glory with a crown of life. Come on, to live forevermore, never to die again. Life is greater than death. Life is greater than death, in particular, eternal life. So, she was a witness to the cup that Jesus would eventually drink and had no idea that it was the same cup that her son would drink. So position in the kingdom is about preparation. We will occupy the position that God has prepared for us. This is why envy has no place in the Christian. Jealousy has no place. Let's just say, "God, empty me of any of it." Why? Because the place that you have prepared me for, no one can occupy but me. Do you know what security that brings? Do you know what peace that brings? That you don't have to strive with your brother? Cain couldn't see it. Cain didn't know. Esau and Jacob didn't know. Isaac and Rebekah, even though God told Rebekah that the younger would serve the older, she still went and lied. In other words, God said, "I have a position for your son." You remember when Jacob then came and he blessed Manasseh. Manasseh was the firstborn, goes on the right hand. Ephraim goes on the left. And Joseph brought them to his father and he switched them up. And Joseph brought the Manasseh here and Ephraim here. And Jacob did this. He's blind now. He did this. He crossed his hands and he put his right hand on the younger son's head. And he put his other hand on the firstborn. And Joseph lifted his hand and said, "Not so, Father, not so." And Jacob said, "I know, Joseph. I know. But God has the position for Ephraim, the second born, that's going to be greater than the firstborn. Why? Because God had a position prepared. God has a position prepared for you, for you, for you, for every one of us. Can we rest in that? Mothers, fathers, can we rest in that? So, this is why Jesus even instructed the Pharisees. He says, when you go to a feast, he said, don't go take the highest seat. Think about this now. When you go to an event, you know how they'll have seats reserved. You know, some church you're going to reserve, people just going up, sit up front. I'm right here. Now, I'm one of them front. I like sitting up front because I don't want people distracting me, looking back ahead, people doing all this kind of business. I don't want to be distracted because I'm easily distracted that way. Anyhow, people go up and take the seat, and then the usher come in, you know, midway. They're preparing everything, and they say, oh, you need to get up and go sit back there. And then the people become like, you know, oh, I'm sorry. Why? The place that you sat in was not prepared for you. Ooh. It wasn't prepared for you. The mother of Zebedee's sons was asking for something that was not prepared for them. So Jesus instructed the Pharisees, don't go take the most prominent seats at the feast, lest someone more prominent than you come in, and then you begin with shame to take the lower seat. But no, when you go to a feast, take the lowest position. She was asking for the highest position. No, Jesus said, no, take the lowest position. And then when they call you up higher, he says, you'll have praise among men. And then Jesus would go on later, right after that, and he called his disciples to them, and he says, hey, listen, the leaders among the Gentiles like to have authority over one another. Not so among you. But what do we see in churches? We see, because of the world system. I've even heard people leave churches because they didn't get promoted. I'm like, that's the world system, y'all. What you talking? What are you doing? When Jesus promotes you, do you know where you go? You go down, not up. So Jesus told them, he said, so instead, let us seek to serve one another. But Jesus said this, let him who is greatest among you be your servant. That's why when Jesus promotes you, you don't go up, you go down. And you can't do that without Jesus. Why? Because your flesh is screaming everything about, do you know who I am? I'm somebody. I need to be up in front. They need a Pastor Pat. He can't preach. He don't even preach it right. Let me do it. Oh, okay. I know I'm not the best preacher, but that's not the point. Read the Old Testament. God chose a donkey. If he could speak through a donkey, he can speak through this donkey. Come on now. It's not about the vessel. It's about him who's speaking through the vessel. We get it all wrong. We think it's the vessel. It's not the vessel. It's God. So instead, let us seek to serve one another. For the greatest among you, Jesus said, let him be your servant. And yet, isn't that just what our mothers did for us? Raising us up, served us without complaining, loving us, cherishing us, nourishing us. I close with Mark chapter 10. Jesus said in verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we thank you, O God, for another day, even this Lord's Day, even this Mother's Day. We thank you, O God, Lord, for giving us mothers. Lord, who brought us by your grace into this world, who loved us, who cared for us, O God. Father, whom you gave to us as gifts. And Father, we just bless them now. Father, we pray the love of God upon our mothers wherever they are, O God. And if they're in glory, Lord, we know they're surrounded and inundated by your love, O God. But those that are here with us, Lord, we pray that your mercies and your compassions and your strength and your grace, Lord, would lift them up and carry them and keep them as they continue, O God, to care for, to love, to minister, O God. Because once a mother, always praying for their children, always praying for their grandchildren, and generations to come and wanting the best, Lord, wanting your will for their children. O God, we bless them now. Father, we pray for your protection, Lord, for your grace, for your strength to keep and carry them, O God, all the days of their lives, O Lord. And may we honor you, O God, in every way by providing for them whatever their need might be. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said amen. Amen and amen.